in bed.
We are in bed.
We're going to tell a very nice story, even though I don't know it. He said that it's going to be good. I'm so excited. yay.
What is your excitement?
I love stories.
Yeah. So you're kind of like running on the spot in bed with your head on the ground, on the bed. It's pretty interesting. Now, this story has some, a little bit of sadness, but it also has...
Did people die in it?
I don't think so, no.
And no people getting hurt?
No, like there's no fighting or there's no like, there's no like punching and kicking and fighting or anything.
They
like
always
that.
Are a pretty nice story. Your stories are never really scary.
They're never really scary?
Yeah.
That's good. I mean, even like the giant and Fum?
No.
Even the gadgets in Magic City?
No.
You were never scared?
Only a little. Only a little. Not scary, so scary.
What would make something like too scary?
If somebody died.
Oh, like somebody really getting hurt or dying. That would make it too scary. But sometimes when people die, it's like, it's not, is it, could it be sad and not scary?
No, it's really scary. I don't know. I'm still a story now.
Yeah, I can tell you the story now. I need a name for a 13-year-old girl. I want a kind of a wild name. A name that sounds good in the mountains.
Snowy?
Snowy's okay, but I wanted something more wild, like kind of like almost a wolf name.
Oh, Wolfgang.
Wolfgang?
Maybe. Yeah, Wolfie is a nice name.
What about, you know what, I have a name. There's Wolfie, but there's also Wren.
I like Wolf.
I'm going to call her Wren, okay?
Okay.
I feel like that's her name. It didn't feel right. Wren lived in a house in the mountains with her father. But she didn't really live with her father. She just lived in the same house. And Wren didn't have a mother and only remembered the feeling of having a mother, but not the mother herself. When she asked her father what happened to her mother, he would just kind of get upset and angry, and he would look up out at the mountains, the highest peaks of the mountains, as if he was thinking about a time from a long time ago. And without saying anything, he would leave the room. Wren didn't live in a really happy home, except when she was alone. And she had a lot of time by herself because she didn't have any brothers and sisters. Now, she found happiness. She wasn't sad all the time, and she wasn't angry all the time or anything like that. But to me, a home is maybe a place where you can feel like you belong with the people there. And not everybody has that. And Wren was definitely one of those kids who didn't have that. She didn't feel like the home was her home. It didn't feel like it was safe. It didn't feel like it was hers. It just felt like she lived there. You ever felt like that, Saskia?
No.
Well, that's good. And so, you know, Wren would go to school in the daytime and she would, you know, hike out to the road from where they lived. It was a little cabin, you know, kind of in the mountains. And the bus would come and pick her up on the road and it would drive her down into the town that was a little bit below them. And she got along fine with other kids, but she just didn't feel like she was a part of things. She would play with other kids with their games, even though sometimes she had fun. They always seemed a little strange. And when she played sports with the other kids, she just didn't really understand why people would find sports fun. And so she was kind of a bit of what people would call a loner. And Wren would come home, and the thing that she really loved to do would be to draw. But her father didn't really know about that. And so Wren didn't have, you know, pencils and markers like some other kids. I mean, sometimes there were pens around in the house and sometimes there were pencils and things like that that she could find. But what she would use, what she really liked to use to draw, were burnt things. bits of charcoal from the fire in the wood stove or from a fire they might have had outside, or just stuff she might find along the trails near her house where maybe fires had burned a long time ago. And when she drew, she would draw one thing. She would draw something that made other people feel uncomfortable or maybe a little bit scared. And it was a great black eye. Because she would draw with charcoal. She would draw these hard edges to the eye, the edges that looked like it was on a very wrinkled face. But she wouldn't draw the face. She would just draw the edges of the eye. And she would draw the eye like a swirling black liquid pool. Can you imagine an eye that looked like that? So it was kind of a scary eye, but she felt like she just had to draw this eye always. Now, I said that Wren and her father maybe didn't get along so well. And it wasn't that they didn't get along. It was that her father was a little bit, I would use the word indifferent. Do you know what that means?
Yeah.
It wasn't that he didn't like his kid. He just sort of didn't seem to, it didn't seem to matter when she was around so much. And he wasn't mean to her, per se, but he was out all day working, and he'd get home late at night, and he would leave food for her. But mostly, Wren kind of lived very much by herself. Her father put stuff in the fridge, her father put groceries into the house, but they didn't really talk or do much together. And, you know, Wren wasn't sad because it was just what she had always known. She didn't feel like you know, a father should do anything other than that. But when other kids would find out about what she was like, they would look at her in a sad way and they'd feel bad for her. And you know how that made Wren feel?
Yeah.
Kind of angry, actually, because she was like, why are you sad about me? I'm not sad about me. Stop being sad about me. And she would live in the house. And mostly what she would do would be almost anything she want. She would go out on the trails by herself, even though she was only 13. And she would go to school by herself. And sometimes she would walk to town by herself and maybe see movies. And a lot of the time she would draw by herself. And her father never really got upset about anything she did. And he never really told her to be careful or anything like that. Except that he always told her never to climb the mountain trail to the peak. And they lived in a town that was pretty high up in the mountains. And you know what happens when you get really high up in the mountains?
What?
The trees kind of stop growing. There's a tree line where above that line, there's really no trees. And before you get to that tree line, there's fewer and fewer trees. So it's a lot of rocks, but not a lot of trees. Now, they lived kind of in a forest part. But when her father would forbid her from climbing the mountain trail, she would look up. And she would see these rocky peaks with dark, dark clouds gathered around them on most days. She couldn't see much of them. But you know what she wanted to do?
Yeah.
Climb those peaks. And she thought about it every day. And she looked at it every day. And if she was scared of anything, at the same time, it was climbing those peaks. Have you ever really wanted to do something and also been scared of it at the same time?
Kinda.
Like what?
I don't know.
Like maybe a ride at the playground, something that spun really fast that you were excited about?
No, definitely.
One day, Wren was at school, and Lucy was another girl at school, and Lucy was so good, and she was so sweet, and she was so kind, and she loved everybody, and everybody loved Lucy. And everybody loved Lucy the way nobody loved Wren, that they saw her as somebody that would be good and kind to them, and she would be good and kind back. She cared about people. And Lucy cared about Wren. She worried about Wren. And you know how that made Wren feel, right? Yeah. So one day, Wren was sitting in her desk, and it was just before school started, and a lot of kids were just kind of talking and walking around, And Lucy came over to Wren, and she said, how can I help you? And Wren said, what are you talking about? And Lucy said, look at you. Your clothes are filthy. You have charcoal all over your hands. You never talk to anybody. And everybody knows that when you go home, your dad is still at work. How can I help you? And Ren got so upset that she kicked her desk over and left the class. And the teacher called after her, and she didn't listen. And she just kept walking. And she walked down the hallway, right out the front of the school. She was so mad. And she thought that maybe she should turn around, go back, but something in her head was saying, keep going. And she walked the road back home, all alone that day. She was by herself. And when she got home and there was nobody there, she didn't even go inside. She looked to the mountain. And she started walking. Now, the trail at first was forest. It was dark, sort of twisted trees, but they were pretty. And there were little whiskey jack birds flying around and other little mountain birds, little fluffy little birds that would buzz really close to her, hoping that she would give them a little bit of bread, like a lot of people did who hiked in the area. But she didn't have bread or anything, so she just kept walking. And the trail, the trees got fewer and fewer, and you could see these big, broken gray rocks, cracked and broken, like somebody had taken a hammer and just smashed big rocks into all these pieces. And she would climb on them and balance on them, and she was liking the climb. And the more she climbed, the more she felt like she was in a place where she belonged. It started to feel like home. And it started to feel home in a way that her home hadn't felt like home. And she was climbing on these rocks, and all the time in her head, she had the voice of her father saying, don't you ever go up that trail into the mountain. Never go up there. It's too dangerous. And every time she heard that voice, she would giggle. Giggle in a way that made her feel free. And she would climb that trail higher and higher. And soon the trees were, there were just a few. And there was a little bit of cloud, and the cloud would kind of go in front of her on the trail, and she couldn't see so well for a few minutes. And then the cloud would kind of blow through, and it would get a little bit clear. And as she was climbing, she realized that she was getting almost at the top. And the rock on the mountain was getting darker and darker. It was not just a light gray rock. It was a dark, dark gray rock, almost black. And as she climbed higher and higher, she realized that there had definitely been some fire up there, because it wasn't just the rock that was black, but also the bits of what was left of the trees that had been burned. And she saw charcoal all around her. She thought, wow, I'm going to gather this all up when I go down, and I'm going to draw with it for years. And even as she was walking, she was stuffing bits of charcoal into her pockets, not even really caring what it did to her clothes. And as she was walking, she also had a bit of a prickly feeling in the back of her neck. Strange feeling. She kept walking, walking, climbing and climbing, and she was almost at the top. And she thought she heard kind of a scraping sound at the top. So she slowed down to listen. And then she heard it again, and it was kind of the sound. It sounded like something was sliding along the rock, something that was big and rocky. And do you think it's an avalanche?
Yeah.
What do you think she should do if it's an avalanche?
I don't know.
Well, she kept going slowly, creeping along a ridge. And a ridge is kind of a high point of land that kind of goes along the edge of something else. And she crept along the ridge, and it was just broken rocks on broken rocks. And she could see across to the other mountains now. Big, wide open, beautiful blue sky getting darker as the sun was getting lower. And the shadows of night were in some of the valleys. And in other valleys, there were still pools of the setting sun. It was beautiful. She crept along this ridge, and she was trying to see what was at the top of the peak that was very close to her now. She was climbing up the edge of the ridge, climbing up and looking beyond. And she saw a big ridge of black broken rock, very strange shape. It looked like one stone in front of another, all turned on their sides with a sharp point pointed up to the sky. And the sun was kind of shining in her eyes, kind of behind this ridge as she turned around the peak. And then something happened. the ridge moved. At first she wasn't sure if she saw it because the sun was in her eyes. But the ridge that was kind of on the peak of this mountain moved and turned. And she looked at it. And as it turned, she saw something that she had seen a million times before, but in a way she had never seen it before. It was the swirling black pool of an eye. And the eye was on the side of a face, and the face was turning. And its skin was dark and scaly, and its nostrils were breathing, and not just breathing air, but breathing out what looked like smoke. And the ridge turned and opened up, and from its back came two enormous black wings. And it stood up a little bit, and she said, and standing there, do you know what she's looking at, Saski?
What?
Was a dragon. And the dragon was really big, as big as a house. And it unfolded its wings and spread them wide that made it even bigger. And its chest was black with one golden patch where its heart would be. Which, if anybody knows about a dragon, that's the one place that a dragon can get hurt. And the dragon stood up on its hind legs and looked at Ren. And opened up its mouth and breathed fire out just over Ren's head. And it just kept going. It was like a wall of fire shooting out right over her head.
So much charcoal.
And the fire shot out across. It didn't touch her, but she could feel how hot it was.
That's why he says do not go there.
And she could feel that the fire was so hot that her own hair, her brown hair, was a little bit burnt. And even though it didn't burn her skin, it burned a little bit of her hair. She put her hand to her head and pulled down a little bit of her hair from her head, and it was burned. And now you or me at that point would probably run away. Or a lot of people would anyways.
I would definitely.
You'd definitely run away?
I would definitely not.
You definitely not? Why not?
Because it would chase me.
Yeah, that's a good idea. It's pretty big. But I think a lot of people would feel so much fear that they would just run. But Ren wasn't thinking about being chased, and she wasn't thinking about being afraid. When she pulled the little bit of burned hair down off her head, she was excited. And she walked towards the dragon. And the dragon looked at her. And even though it was a dragon's face and not a human's face, you know what she could tell? That the dragon was smiling. And she walked to the dragon, and the dragon took steps to her, and it brought its face to the huge muzzle of the dragon, its nostrils and its teeth that were hanging out of its mouth, even though its mouth were closed, were very close to her nose, to Ren's nose. And she could feel its hot breath of its nostrils. And she could smell the smoke and the charcoal and the fire that was burning inside the dragon at its heart. And she could feel something inside her also changing and warming. And that prickly feeling in the back of her neck felt stronger. And she put her hand on the back of her neck, you know, kind of where her hair ended. She felt with her hand, and it felt different. It felt like the prickly feeling had become bumps. And she looked at the dragon, and the dragon looked at her, and she said, "Hi, Mama." And the dragon didn't say any words, but she could tell that the dragon loved hearing that.
What did she say?
And the dragon stood up. And as the dragon stood up, she could feel that on the back of her neck, those bumps were getting longer. And she could feel a change. She could feel inside her, like, this warm feeling, this hot feeling.
Why is it a mouth? What happened to her?
Well, maybe we'll get to that. And she stood there, and she could feel something happening. And she looked at her hands, and her hands were turning scaly and green. And she felt on her back something almost like folding out of her. And she heard the sound and knew that it was herself. It was her wings. And she grew, not a lot, but like not a lot for a dragon, but a lot for a 13-year-old girl to grow in a few minutes. And she could feel her face changing. And she could feel her power inside her. And all of a sudden, she had such a feeling that she had never had before. And she opened her mouth. And she breathed fire onto the ground. And it burned in front of her. And she knew that all that time, when her father was telling her to stay away from the ridge, that she was the daughter of the mountain dragon. And now was the time when she would become a dragon too. And she stood beside her mother, and her mother stood beside her, and they unfolded their wings. And they launched themselves into the sky and flew into the sunset. And that's the end of my story.
I liked it. Why was he not saying, stay away?
Maybe he didn't understand it.
Oh, but why was he your father?
I don't know.
Can you tell me?
Well, I was thinking maybe that a long time ago he would have found her as a girl on the mountain and decided that he would, you know, take care of her. But there were things about her that maybe scared him. Some sort of power that she had that maybe made him nervous. He didn't understand. And it was, I think the thing that he was afraid of was kind of dragonness, you know, like the feeling of her being a dragon. And he knew there was something on the mountain that he was afraid of if it was a dragon. And I think some of that feeling of being afraid was in her. Maybe that's why he was never around so much. He was never like warm to her and stuff, because he was kind of afraid. I think some parents, when they have kids, are very afraid of having kids. And sometimes that fear lasts a little longer. Even as parents, it can be pretty scary being a parent, you know, because you have this person to take care of. And I think some kids, you know, can feel that. And other parents are able to let go of that fear and be with their kids.
You know, but I think also that dad, he wanted to keep her. He wanted to protect her, and he wanted her to stay. He didn't want her to go away to the mountains. I'm sure he'll miss her.
Do you think I'm afraid of you?
No. Another story.
We'll be back next week with another story. Remember to like, review, and rate us on iTunes. Your ratings help other people discover our stories. So please take a couple of minutes and do that. And we'll see you soon. Good night.